Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Good morning, Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Tuesday, October the 16th. We are back, back from South Florida, myself and Tom. First off, before we get into all the news on the Miami Dolphins, I just want to thank the Miami Dolphins organization for having Tom and myself down there this week to be in the press box to cover this Miami Dolphins game and for all the access they gave us on Sunday. Look, it was outstanding. The Miami Dolphins are a top-notch organization, and just want to thank everyone involved with giving Tom and myself access and allowing us to sit in the press box to watch the game, and looking forward to doing that again moving forward. Let's talk about the news. First bit of news, on Monday, the Miami Dolphins re-signed Sam Young, and they released safety Maurice Smith. Now, odds are Maurice Smith will, if he clears waivers and such, will be signed back to the Miami Dolphins practice squad. I would expect that. And I know a lot of fans are like, oh my God, we're bringing Sam Young back. Sam Young, look, this is a smart move. And look, if there's anybody who's not a fan of Sam Young, it's me. I've been pounding the table for 2 years. Why is he still here? Why are we holding on to this guy? I get it. But right now, in, mid-October, you're not going to get a better backup offensive tackle who's just sitting out there without a job. And the Miami Dolphins offensive line has taken a lot of injuries. And to have someone like Sam Young as your backup right tackle isn't the worst thing in the world. Where you don't want to see Sam Young and where the collapse in Cincinnati happened was because Sam Young was forced out to play left tackle. He's not a left tackle. He's too slow. He's not strong enough. He can't play left tackle. But as a backup right tackle behind Juwan James, he's fine. Now, you don't want him out there on the field at all, but if he has to step in a pinch to play backup right tackle, it's not the end of the world. Beyond this year, Miami has to do something to talk about the backup depth of tackle because clearly they don't have any. But as of right now, I have no problem with having Sam Young back. As long as he's only backing up right tackle, Sam Young cannot get on the field if something were to happen to Laremy Tunsil to be the left tackle. So I have no problem with this move. I know many fans are like, oh my God, I can't believe he's back. It makes sense. It makes all the sense in the world. And talking about the offensive line, just in general, because with the postgame wrap-up show this Sunday, it was shorter than normal. Tom and myself, we were at the stadium at 9 a.m. We didn't get out of there close to 6. Then we got something to eat. We recorded that show, I don't even know what time. It was very late Sunday night in a hotel room in South Florida. And I know sound quality wasn't great. But so we didn't go in depth as we usually do in the postgame wrap-up show. So a lot of this podcast is some of the things that I didn't mention in the postgame wrap-up show regarding the Bears game. And I'm going to end the podcast talking about the quarterback spot, Brock versus Tannehill and all that. But let's talk about the offensive line. The offensive line had an amazing day Sunday. Now, the problem is, how can we have an amazing day each and every week moving forward? Put a gun to my head, I'm going to say, no, that won't be the case. But there's a couple of things we have to talk about. First off, Laremy Tunsil is, the past, I would say, 2 to 3 weeks, is playing at an elite level, which we haven't seen him play at since he's been at Miami as their starting left tackle. The light bulb has gone off. It's all starting to click. Tunsil is showing himself to be an elite left tackle. This week, he was fantastic against the Bears. Fantastic. And, I think moving forward, the question of Laremy Tunsil at left tackle, is he, where he was drafted, is he a disappointment? You can put that stuff to bed. Laremy Tunsil is now a rocket left tackle for the Dolphins, and I think they have nothing to worry about with him there. Juwan James played well this Sunday. I'm not knocking him. I will say this, though. Mac was less than 100%. Early on that game, he got dinged up with his ankle. He had to go to the sideline for an extended period of time, get the ankle retaped. And he wasn't, look, he's still a great player, but he wasn't Mac at 100%. James still shut him down. Look, that's his job. He did his job. And, you know, kudos to him. The thing with James that you worry about is, you know, you don't know which guy you get Sunday to Sunday. And, you know, next week, James might go out there and play a total stinker. That's been, you know, his MO over the years. Week to week, you just don't know which guy you're going to get. But this past Sunday, he was great. The interior of the offensive line, Swanson, Larson, Jesse Davis was very good. I'm sure those guys all week heard that the big bad Chicago Bears are coming to town with, I think technically they're ranked number two defense, but in the eyes of many, they are the best defense in the league. You know, they probably heard it all week. The big bad Bears, they're going to come and just abuse Miami's offensive line. You know, everyone was saying it. I said it myself on this podcast. I went on a Chicago Bears podcast. I said it on their show where I was a guest. You know, and, you know, those guys shut everyone up for at least a week. They shut everyone up for a week. They played great as a unit. Hopefully, moving forward, you know, Miami's not going to have the best offensive line this year. We all know that. But they just have to be good. Nobody's expecting them to be great. Nobody's expecting them to be one of the best in the league. Just be good. And this week they were good. I'll talk about this more later on, too, when I get into the quarterback talk. Brock Osweiler was not sacked once this week. Now, some of that's on Brock, who got rid of the ball quick, made quick decisions. But the other part of that is a tip of the cap to the offensive line. They kept their quarterback upright. He did not get sacked. So, good news there. Wide receivers. Obviously, Albert Wilson. You know, here's what I'll say about Wilson. There was that Sporting News article back in like August that he was one of the, if not the worst, off-season contract signings this year. When a team signed a free agent that he was overpaid, one of the worst signings. I joked about that after the Raiders game saying, you know, you watch this game against the Raiders and everything he did in that game. Clearly, that article, you know, is just a joke. After a game like this, it's even more of a joke. Albert Wilson has replaced Jarvis Landry, and he gives you none of the drama. He gives you none of the personal foul penalties. He gives you none of the, for lack of a better word, bullshit that sometimes surrounded Jarvis Landry. Albert Wilson is having an amazing year. He has replaced Jarvis Landry. There's a lot of talk in the offseason. Will Amendola replace Landry? Will Wilson replace him? Will it be a combination of the two? No, Albert Wilson has replaced him, period, end of story. You know, Landry, you know, Jarvis Landry has caught a lot of passes in the league his first 4.5 years or so, and he's a very good player. But for the Miami Dolphins in 2018, Miami is getting, you know, so much production out of Albert Wilson that it's like Jarvis Landry's not being missed. And you can line up Landry and Wilson side by side and say, Landry's a much better receiver. Maybe he is. Maybe he is. But production-wise on the field, which is all that matters at the end of the day. You know, you can talk about, well, this guy's getting paid this much, this guy's getting paid that much. This guy's this fast, this guy's that fast. This guy's this tall. At the end of the day, what do you do on the field? How many plays do you make? And right now, production-wise, Albert Wilson has replaced Jarvis Landry. The Albert Wilson signing will go down as the best offseason acquisition for the Miami Dolphins this year. That, I don't think, is up for debate at this point. And he might be the best offseason acquisition, or he would be the best, however you want to phrase it, free agent signing the Miami Dolphins have had probably in the past 5 years. And maybe you can go back a little further with that. I haven't done the research. But, you know, the Miami Dolphins have game-breaking speed at wide receiver. We spoke about it all offseason. Wilson and Grant are just, you know, blazing fast. And you can get them the ball on a short little play, and they will turn it upfield and take it to the end zone. And Albert Wilson did that twice this week. We saw those guys each do it against the Raiders. You know, we're only 6 games in here, and we have at least 2 games where these guys have broken open the game with their speed and big plays. We will see it more moving forward. You're not going to see it every week, but you're going to see it more. And, you know, you just can't say enough about the Miami Dolphins wide receiver group. Kenny Stills, that 2-point conversion catch was fantastic. The fact he got both feet in the back of the end zone and held on to the ball, huge play. Stills, his numbers this year aren't, you know, they're not great, but he is. The reason guys like Wilson and Grant are playing so well is because all the attention is on Kenny Stills. And Kenny Stills You know, I don't know if he's a number one wide receiver in this league, but I think he's knocking on the door of it. And while the numbers aren't there to back that up, you know, he does. Teams do have to focus on him, and I think that's why guys like Wilson and Grant and Amendola, to a lesser extent, are putting up the numbers they're putting up. Devontae Parker, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on, but here's what I will say. You know, and we talk about Devontae Parker all the time. He was on the field this past Sunday. He did nothing, no receptions. It's just time to rip the Band-Aid off. Just let him go this week. Release him. You're not going to be able to trade him. There's no team in the right mind who would part with anything for this guy. We've all read the reports online that he doesn't take care of his body. He doesn't work hard, you know, in the off season. He eats all the wrong foods. And they can say, and now you get some reports from the Dolphins, well, he's changed and now he's working hard. You know, whatever. At the end of the day, for however many years he's been in Miami, he wasn't taking care of himself. He produces nothing on the field. Some of the injuries are kind of fluky, so I'm not going to pin it on him. But, you know, it does seem like he's always hurt, because he is always hurt. And when he does play, the production's not there. And as I said with Wilson, the only thing the organization cares about, fans care about, is what do you do on Sundays when you play? You know, I don't care if you practice at all. You can stay up, you know, eat all the fast food you want, and you can stay up playing your video games all night if you produce on Sunday. With Parker, the stats stink. They just do. There's no reason to hold on to him. Let him go. Just release him and move on. The group of Stills, Wilson, Grant, and Amendola, with the one or two guys they have on the practice squad at wide receiver, it's good enough. Yes, you would like one wide receiver in that group to be, you know, have some size, a little bit taller. Obviously, you've got guys like Wilson and Grant. Not the case. Amendola's not a huge guy. Stills is like average for a wide receiver, average height. It ain't going to get fixed this year because you're going to get nothing from Parker. Just let him go. It's just time to move on. The tight ends. Nick O'Leary, as I said in the postgame wrap-up show, is already the best tight end on the Dolphins roster. That is not a knock on Mike Gesicki. I think the fans have to sort of, you know, I'm starting to see fans sort of turn on Gesicki, knock him a little bit. Settle down, folks. Mike Gesicki, you know, is a rookie. He's only played 6 games. And I think the hype on him coming into this year was way too high. Way too high. Mike Gesicki is going to be a very good tight end in the NFL, but it might not be to year 2. And I'm okay with that. I think the fans really have to settle down. If you want to be worried about a tight end, be worried about Smythe, as he was only on the field for 5 plays this week. I think last week against Cincinnati, off the top of my head, he was on the field for 7. So he's not even being able to snip the field much. But Nick O'Leary, who's only been on the team a couple weeks, has walked in. And he is the number one tight end. He played 52 snaps on Sunday. Gesicki was only on the field for 27. He has already supplanted him as a starter. Why the Bills let him go, I will never know. That says a lot about the Bills and how they evaluate their own in-house talent. But this has been a total find for the Dolphins. O'Leary blocking well, playing well, caught a touchdown against the Bears. Nick O'Leary has been fantastic. A great addition to the Dolphins. And this is more than just a one-year signing year. They should look to lock this guy up for a couple of years. I think O'Leary and Gesicki would be a nice little 1-2 punch moving forward at tight end. Both guys are young. A nice little 1-2 punch at tight end moving forward for the rest of this year and beyond. 2019, 2020. Those guys are both very good. I think Gesicki, you got to wait a little more, which is okay. I'm fine with that. But Nick O'Leary can't say enough positive things. One of the most impressive things about this Sunday's win against the Bears is what the Miami Dolphins did on defense, specifically at defensive end, because the Miami Dolphins were thin there heading into the game. And then Jonathan Woodard, who got his first NFL sack this past Sunday, so congratulations to him for that. And he's been playing really well. Left the game with concussion-like symptoms. He had I know he's in the concussion protocol right now. Once he went down, you know, it was pretty much just Robert Quinn, Cameron Melvo, and Andre Branch in his first game back. And Branch, you know, fans like to get on Branch because they think he's overpaid. And for what he's paid, he doesn't produce enough. You know, tip of the cap to him for this week. He was on the field for 49 snaps. I'm not even sure if he's ready to be on the field. But with Wake out, you know, he rushed back. He got himself ready to at least be able to play. I'm sure the Miami Dolphins didn't want to see him on the field for 49 snaps, but that's what he did. He toughed it out. He gutted it out and showed a ton of heart there. And kudos to Andre Branch for, you know, putting in a hard day's work there. Probably not 100%. Who knows where he is, but I'm sure he's not 100%. And playing that many snaps against the Bears and helping the Miami Dolphins win. Defensive end, look, there's been a ton of injuries. Obviously, they lost Hayes. Charles Harris wasn't active for this week. He has a minor leg injury, I guess. I assume it's minor. It doesn't sound like it's too serious. Wake, there's an ESPN report out that he had arthroscopic surgery on his knee. If so, he might be out a little bit longer. There's a chance he'll play Sunday, but he's already missed two games. And usually when you get arthroscopic surgery on knee, you're going to be out 3 to 4. So he might play this week, but we don't know, and we probably won't know till Sunday. They're being quiet about that. The Miami Dolphins are. But Branch, you know, he gutted it out. And they needed every one of those snaps out of him. The one thing I'll say promising that's come from all these injuries at defensive end is that some of these young guys like Woodard and Melvo have really played well when they've been handed the opportunity. Now Charles Harris, the first-round pick, when he was given the opportunity, really hasn't done much. I know against Cincinnati, some people thought he played well. I didn't see it, honestly. But Woodard here, for two games now, has played really well in the time he's been out there. Melville's played well. The youth Miami has at that position is nice to see. And I think these guys, you know, they're going to be here beyond this year. And they will continue to help the team win games this year because they're going to need them. Because Wake, who knows when he's coming back? Who knows how healthy he will be? Branch, he's still working his way back to 100%. But these guys are playing well, so we like that. So kudos to them. On the secondary, you know, the Miami Dolphins secondary is very good. The one issue is cornerback. After Xavien Howard and Bobby McCain, they got nothing. So they need Bobby McCain back in the worst way here because Torrey McTyer and Tankersley were absolutely brutal against the Bears. They were bad. I mean, I don't like to say it and be that blunt about it, but they were both bad against the Bears. Neither one of them looked like they belonged on an NFL field. Bobby McCain was working out prior to the game on the field very, very early in the morning. So hopefully he's back this week because that's going to be the talk. When we start talking about this Lions game later this week is can the Miami Dolphins cover these Lions wide receivers? Because the Lions have three very good wide receivers, Marvin Jones, Golden Tate, and Galladay. I mean, those guys are just three high-end wide receivers. And Xavien Howard can't cover anybody. And Fitzpatrick, you can put him on the wide receiver in the slot. That's fine. Matthew Stafford will be able to pick on guys like Tankersley and McTyer should they be on the field playing a lot. So Bobby McCain, you know, they need him back quick. But the safeties played outstanding. And, I mean, the Miami Dolphins secondary, when it's a full strength, might be the best secondary in the NFL. I have no qualms in saying that. I don't think that's an overreaction. I don't think that's I just think they're that good when they're healthy, but they need Bobby McCain back. The other thing at linebackers, Kiko Alonso, another fantastic game. Another fantastic game. He is having a Pro Bowl season. He might be having an all-pro season, folks. All-pro. He has been that good. The one issue with the linebackers this week is they did not once. They just were unable to cover Bears running back, Tariq Cohen. They didn't have the speed to keep up with him. It's a concern moving forward. They made Cohen look like, you know, Marshall Faulk from the 90s, but which he's a nice player, Cohen. He's not that good. But they made him look that way. So the linebackers, you know, they're still improving. Jerome Baker, week to week, gets better. Like to see that. And Kiko Alonso, you know, like I said, having a fantastic year. Having an absolutely fantastic year. But overall, this was a big win for the Dolphins. A lot of ups and downs in this game. This game was an emotional roller coaster for fans, for sure. But I thought this team, with all the adversity, and, you know, we talk a lot about the quote-unquote culture change with Adam Gase and all that stuff. And heading into the year, many people in the media and some fans and stuff thought, you know, is that just a line? Is that a bunch of crap? Does that actually matter? And you know what? It kind of does matter, and we're seeing it. This past Sunday's game is really the prime example of that. The Miami Dolphins are down 21-10. No Ryan Tannehill. No Cam Wake. No Bobby McCain. and they fought through it and found a way to win. And yeah, there was a bunch of stuff happened in the game. And I haven't even spoken about the running backs. You know, a bunch of, you know, just crazy plays. You got the fumble at the goal line with Drake and, you know, all that stuff. And they still found a way to win. They fought through it. And you have to wonder, previous years with the quote-unquote big names here like Landry and Sue and all those guys, would that have been the case? Or would they have been on the sideline just pouting, slamming their helmets, going, you know what, we're done. We can't win. I don't know. But what I do know is this group fights through a lot, and they found a way to win. And right now they're 4-2. You, as fans, I'm kind of upset as a fan that they're not 5-1. They should be 5-1. That Cincinnati loss will come back to bite them in the ass when all is said and done. I can say that with 100% certainty. The AFC right now, you got the Patriots in the East, you got the Chiefs in the West. One of those teams in the South will come out on top, whether it's Tennessee or Jacksonville or Houston. Only one of them is getting to the playoffs this year. That division is a mess. In the North, you got the Ravens and Pittsburgh. I think there's only one open wild card spot when it's all said and done. And it's going to come down to either the Los Angeles Chargers, the Miami Dolphins, or I think it'd probably be just one of those teams. And the Cincinnati Bengals, my bad. And the Cincinnati Bengals. I think those three teams are going to be fighting for one spot all year. And that loss of Cincinnati is just, you know, so big. So big. And I think it will probably be the thing that if the Miami Dolphins miss the playoffs, will keep them out. But we'll see. Look, there's still a lot of time left. Still a lot of games to be played. A lot can happen. But this team, you know, is fighting through a lot of stuff. And they found a way to win. And one of the things they're fighting through right now is the loss of their starting quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, which I am going to talk about next. So right now, we're going to take a quick break. And when I come back, we're going to talk about Brock Osweiler, Ryan Tannehill, and the Miami Dolphins quarterback situation as it sits today and what they should do moving forward. Because some of my comments on the postgame wrap-up show, I think, were taken out of context a little, and I want to clear that up. So sit tight, and we'll be back right after this.
SimBet Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. SimBet Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. To win in South Florida area, visit SimBet Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
All right, we're back, and let's talk about the hot topic in South Florida right now, and that is the Miami Dolphins quarterback situation and Brock Osweiler, Ryan Tannehill. What's going on here with that? So let's start off with what we know. Ryan Tannehill has an injury to his shoulder, his throwing shoulder. That we know. The Miami Dolphins are saying it's not an AC joint injury, that report is false. Now, the Miami Dolphins might not be 100% truthful here with that, or maybe they are. In my eyes, they have no reason to lie, especially once Tannehill was announced that he wasn't playing Sunday against the Bears. I mean, the Miami Dolphins have no reason to lie to say what the injury is and what it's not. So when if they say it's not an AC joint injury, I believe them, because what incentive is there for them to lie? He's already missed one game. He might miss more. So I believe them when they say it's not an AC joint injury. I know there's a few outlets in the media going back and forth, being, you know, overly sensitive about this. Well, we had it first, yeah, but you were wrong, and blah, blah, blah. That, look, I hate it when the media media entities attack each other. I think it's so childish and foolish. And they also have to understand the consumers, who, you know, are the listeners and readers and all stuff, they don't care who had it first. They just want accurate information. So I'm not going to get involved in any of that. That's out there on social media, and I'm not getting involved. I like everybody in the media down there, but, you know, some of these entities really are taking it too far and being, you know, overly sensitive. But the Miami Dolphins, like I said, no one sent them a lie. If they say it's not an AC joint injury, I tend to believe them, because they have no reason to lie. And after the game, I said this, and I stand by what I said. So let's make that clear. That moving forward, Brock Osweiler should remain the starting quarterback for the Dolphins in 2018 until he shouldn't. And what I mean by that is, nobody's saying, you know, bench Tannehill here and never put him back out there and just ride Osweiler the rest of the way. That's what I'm not saying. What I am saying is, since Tannehill's not healthy right now and not 100%, continue to play Osweiler. And even if Tannehill gets 100%, whether it's like now, say he's 100%, he wakes up today, this morning, and he feels 100% ready to go. That's fine. I'm still starting Brock Osweiler against the Lions this week. And here's why. Brock Osweiler showed me enough on Sunday. And look, I'll get into this. Osweiler wasn't fantastic on Sunday. I know the stats sort of make it seem like he was. He really wasn't. But he did enough in that game. Not taking sacks. Not holding onto the ball too long. Finding his guys. Making the right reads. Getting rid of the ball on time. He did enough to at least get one more start. And let him play against... He has a hot hand. Whether that continues beyond the Chicago game, we don't know. He might come out against the Lions and totally stink. And if that's the case, and if Tannehill's healthy, you put him back out there. This notion that Ryan Tannehill's above being... And he's not even being benched. He had to sit because of an injury. So I don't even like the term he's being benched, because he's really not. But the fact that Tannehill has to be rushed back out, it's like we're rushing Joe Montana back out there. It's Ryan Tannehill, who, has played okay this year. His last two starts against New England and Cincinnati, he was bad. But overall, if you want to say he's played okay this year, I guess I agree with that. But it's like this rush to get him back out there. It's Ryan Tannehill. And if you're under the impression that, Ryan Tannehill is nothing more than a game manager at the quarterback spot, which I think most rational fans agree with, Brock Osweiler was a better game manager this past Sunday than Tannehill has been in most of the games this year. That's just a fact. Osweiler managed that game Sunday. He, like I said, got rid of the ball on time, didn't take any sacks. He had a couple turnovers, but guess what? Ryan Tannehill turned it over a few times each week, too, most weeks. So you can't hold that against Osweiler. I know there's a segment of the fan base, and there's a segment of, I would say, bloggers, not so much the real media these days, of bloggers who, will defend Tannehill to the end of time, will make every excuse for him for the end of time. They are just so far up as you-know-what that no matter what he does, it's like it's never wrong. But you have to understand that Tannehill has not played well of late. And it's like we're not benching, like I said, Joe Montana here. And, we can continue to ride out Brock Osweiler until there's a reason not to. And Tom said on the postgame wrap-up show, it's the Tampa Bay Ryan Fitzpatrick approach. Yes, and sign me up for that right now. We all know who Ryan Fitzpatrick is, who he has been. He started off the first handful of games this year looking like a superstar. And Tampa rode him that hot hand until Ryan Fitzpatrick went back to being Ryan Fitzpatrick that we all know who he is. And then they made the change to Winston, and nobody argued about it. There's no quote-unquote quarterback controversy in Tampa. Everyone knows Winston's a better player, but Tampa was able to sneak out a few wins riding a hot hand of Ryan Fitzpatrick. And that's what the Miami Dolphins need to do right now. We all know Brock Osweiler is not a long-term answer at quarterback. We all know that Brock Osweiler is who he is. He was a guy who was cut last year by the Browns, a guy who flamed out in Houston, and a guy who had, a few good games with the Denver Broncos, which seems like, ages ago. We all know he is not a special player, not a special quarterback. With that said, I saw enough out of him this past Sunday to continue moving forward with him. 380 yards, and don't give me a bunch of the yards were yards after catches with short passes, and the wide receivers did all the work, because that argument holds no water. Because for the Tannehill people out there, and we all know who they are, who will never knock them, watch the Raiders game where Tannehill just pretty much, flipped the ball to Grant and flipped the ball to Wilson, which were virtually handoffs, but since it was a forward handoff, it counts as a pass. Tannehill did nothing in that game, but his stats look great because the wide receivers did all the work after that. So this notion that Osweiler, he did nothing, and it was all Wilson yards after catches, great. But then you got to say the same thing about Tannehill from that Raiders game and some other games this year where he did nothing, and it was all the work of the wide receivers, yards after catches. So if you're going to support Tannehill and say Osweiler, he did nothing, was all Wilson, then the same holds true for Ryan Tannehill. So you can't have it both ways. And again, nobody is saying that Tannehill's not going to play again this year. Nobody is saying he's being benched forever. Well, again, he's not even being benched. He's being sat because of an injury. And, you know, when the time is right to put him back out. And we have no idea. Nobody knows. No media outlet knows. And if one is out there trying to tell you they know, they are lying. How long Tannehill will be out? Monday, when Adam Gase spoke to the media, he pretty much said he has no idea. They're taking it day by day. He might be ready to play this week. He might not be ready to play for another month. The one thing that was reported in the Miami Herald, I believe, I saw, was that this isn't going to be a season-ending injury, which, when you phrase it like that, and that came from the Dolphins, when they phrase it like that, makes me think this is a multiple-week injury, though. So, Osweiler, if I had to guess, and again, this is just a guess, I'm not claiming to have no inside knowledge, Osweiler probably is going to play against the Lions. And again, he should play against the Lions. He earned that. He earned that this past Sunday. So, ride out the hot hand. You know, you're right. There's always talk, is this a quarterback controversy? The only way it's a quarterback controversy is if Adam Gase sort of makes this one without trying to make it one. And let me explain. If you continue to play Osweiler and the team continues to win games, there's no quarterback controversy. Brock Osweiler's the guy, and you continue to win games. If he is in such a rush, and by he I mean Adam Gase, to get Ryan Tannehill back out there in the field, first chance he gets, whether he's at 90%, 80%, 95%, whatever the percent is, and then Tannehill, you know, starts a game, he struggles, maybe get a 3-and-out, then you have a next drive, or maybe they pick up a first down, but then they end up having the punt, and then at the end of the first quarter, they've had the ball twice or three times, and they don't have any points, then the first, you're going to have 70,000 fans cheering, we want Brock, you're going to have everyone in the media, right, maybe Osweiler, he's a better fit for the Miami Dolphins at quarterback than Tannehill, and now you've just created a controversy when you didn't need one. Like I said, Tampa Bay handled this perfectly. Winston was suspended, Fitzpatrick had to play. Fitzpatrick was playing well. And the moment Fitzpatrick didn't play well, they went straight back to Winston. Nobody in the media is asking Tampa Bay if that's the smart choice. No fans are clamoring for Ryan Fitzpatrick. They just rode Fitzpatrick for a few weeks, got a few wins out of him. He played well, and that's it. There's nothing to talk about. And that's the approach the Miami Dolphins have to take right now. Brock Osweiler, we know who he is. You play him until there's a reason not to play him. And the reason not to play him is A, Tannehill is healthy enough to play, whatever point that is, and B, Brock Osweiler starts to stink up the joint. Because we know it's coming. Look, nobody is foolish enough to think Brock Osweiler, you know, overnight has turned into some, you know, great NFL quarterback or even a capable NFL quarterback. We know it. But there is no reason right now to rush Ryan Tannehill back. We know what this is. We know what it is. And, I mean, just play Brock Osweiler. Period. End of story. And when Tannehill's ready to return and when Osweiler starts to struggle, then you make the swap back. But we'll see. We'll see how this plays out. We probably, you know, Tannehill, he will be on the injury report this week. You can take that to the bank. Whether he plays or not, the Miami Dolphins might be coy about that. Might not let on until later in the week. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. But it sounds like he will play again this year, Tannehill. You know, and it's funny, too, about football. You know, everyone's so concerned about when can they get him back out in the field, Tannehill. Like I said, the past eight quarters, the past 2 weeks against New England and Cincinnati, Tannehill was bad. He struggled. And, you know, in other sports, when a guy, he goes through a rough patch, whether it's the NBA, Major League Baseball, hockey, you take him off your field of play or your court or whatever the sport is, and you sit him for a bit, and you put someone else in, and then when the time's right, you put back in your starter or your main guy. But for some reason in football, and this is more of a wider range subject than just Tannehill, it's like when you bench a quarterback for a while, or when he has to sit because he's hurt for a while, this notion, oh my God, his job is lost forever. He's not, no, nobody, sort of, it's so funny. It ties into this. Nobody is saying Tannehill's never going to play again this year. Nobody is saying Brock Osweiler should have the job long term. But, you know, right now, Brock Osweiler needs to be the quarterback for the Dolphins against the Lions. And that's, you know, and nothing's going to change my mind. We'll see how that works Sunday. And I'm not even saying Osweiler's going to play well against the Lions. He might go out there and stink. Stink out loud. Stink on toast. Just be bad. And if that's the case, the Miami Dolphins will have to either then put in someone like Fales or Tannehill if he's healthy enough. And that's what you do. That's what you do. So I just wanted to clear that up because there's a lot of talk about the quarterback situation, media reports, conflicting media reports. Well, this one had a report first, but it's wrong. And this one had that. Like I said, nobody cares about that. Nobody cares. And when it comes down to it at the end of the day, Brock Osweiler, you know, a lot of his passes were short this week. Nobody's saying otherwise. A lot of the work was done by Albert Wilson after the catch. Nobody's foolish enough. But there were some things Osweiler did that worked. And he managed that game. Yes, he had two interceptions. You know, and some people, well, he had two interceptions. Like Ryan Tannehill doesn't throw interceptions or doesn't turn the ball. Did anybody watch the end of the game against Cincinnati? Tannehill was a turnover machine. And somehow those turnovers are, well, they're not overlooked. They can be brushed aside. But when Osweiler throws two interceptions, like, oh my, chill out. Okay, Osweiler had two interceptions because he's not a very good quarterback. But it's, like I said, Ryan Tannehill ain't exactly Joe Montana, okay? So it's not like he's supplanting a guy here who has a fist filled of rings and stuff like that. So we'll see how this plays out. But I expect Osweiler to start against the Lions this week. And I think he should start against the Lions this week. And hopefully Tannehill is healthy enough to dress and be the number two quarterback. And if at any point in that game, Osweiler, you know, starts to struggle or is not playing well, then you put Tannehill back out there, absolutely. And if Tannehill isn't healthy enough and then he's out for a few weeks here, which is also very possible. Like I said, we don't know at this point, and by we, I mean pretty much everyone, don't know the extent of the injury for Ryan Tannehill. He was a late addition to the injury report last week. So he practiced in full Wednesday and full Thursday, and nobody sort of saw this coming. I know some people are taking credit for seeing it come. Nobody really saw this coming, okay? Nobody saw it coming. So, you know, if the shoulder is healthy enough, maybe he's able to dress this week. If not, and this takes a few more weeks, so be it. We'll just all have to rally around Brock Osweiler. Again, the drop-off between Tannehill to Osweiler, I don't think is that significant. I think there's somewhat of a drop-off. I do. I think Tannehill's a better quarterback. Not saying he's not. But I don't think the drop-off is steep. And I think Osweiler, if he plays smart, doesn't turn the ball over, and just, you know, gets the ball in the hands of the guys to make plays, the Miami Dolphins are going to be okay. They're going to be okay. They're not going to be great, but they're going to be okay. They're going to be like what we saw against the Bears this week. They're going to be a bunch of short passes, and you got to hope your playmakers, at the end of the day, make some plays. So we'll have more about this as the week moves forward, but I just wanted to talk about that here. At the end of the show. So that's all for today's show. Everyone, be sure to go to the website, dolphinstalk.com, and check out all the new content we have up on the website. We have a ton of new articles. We have one by Bobby, one by Carm, as well as a new The Same Old Miami Dolphins podcast show where they recap the big win over the Chicago Bears from this past week. Check it out. A ton of new content up on the website, as well as an article about the Miami Dolphins Cancer Challenge and how this week was the Miami Dolphins crucial catch game and how all the money raised from this past year's Miami Dolphins Cancer Challenge was presented to the Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center of South Florida. It was over $5 million and just the great work that the Miami Dolphins are doing with their Cancer Challenge to raise this money to help save lives in South Florida. And read up all about it, all about the event. We were able to speak with one of the cancer survivors who was on the field this past Sunday for the check presentation, as well as chat with Dr. Stephen Nimmer, who is the director of the Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center. So we have all that up in the article. Check it out. It's worth reading. And if you do want to sign up for next year's Dolphins Cancer Challenge and help raise money and help this great cause. We have the links up on our website. It's in the article. It's also on the main page of our site where it is year-round. So check that out. Like, it will be April 6th, 2019. The Dolphins Cancer Challenge, the ninth annual one, will be April 6th, 2019. All the information can be found on our website with the links you need. So check that out there. Sinbad Sports. Check out Sinbad Sports this Saturday. Frank Gore will be there between 2 and 3 p.m. So if you want to meet Frank Gore, go to Sinbad Sports this Saturday at 1976 South University Drive in Davie, Florida, between 2 p.m. and 3 p.m. Frank Gore will be there signing autographs. If you are unable to attend, or if you don't live in South Florida but you still want a Frank Gore autograph, check out their website, sinbadsports.com, and you can place a pre-order there, or you can pick up the phone and call them at 954-451-3497. This past Saturday, myself and Tom were there. We got to meet Sinbad, talk with him, and talk with some of his staff there. They're a big sponsor of our podcast, big supporters of us, and we love working with them. Albert Wilson was there this past Saturday. He showed up there Saturday. The following day, he had a huge game against the Bears. Hopefully, the good karma continues. Frank Gore will be at Sinbad Sports this Saturday, and hopefully he has a big game against the Lions, because that's what we want to see. But yes, check out sinbadsports.com, or go to Sinbad Sports if you live in South Florida at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you, and maybe you get a little discount. Maybe. I'm thinking you might. But yeah, so check out Sinbad Sports and for your opportunity to meet Frank Gore. If you want to send me an email, whether comment, question, feedback, always appreciated. I can be reached at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. Again, DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. And once again, in closing, just once again, I'd like to thank the Miami Dolphins for inviting us to sit in the press box for this past week's game against the Bears. Looking forward to doing that again. We got, you know, a chance to talk to some people. We have a lot of guests on our podcast and a lot of people in the media. And we had the opportunity to actually, you know, meet some of them face-to-face for the first time. Had a chance to hang out with Antoine Staley for a bit and chat with him, to chat with the big old Orlando Alzagari, Jeff Fox. Had a chance to chat with him. And there's a picture of myself, Tom, and Jeff Fox out there on our Instagram and on our Twitter accounts as well. Omar Kelly, super nice guy, great guy. Get a chance to chat with him for a bit. Alex Dono from 560 WQAM. Again, super guy. He had a chance to talk with him for a few minutes. So it was nice to be able to meet some of these people face-to-face for once and, you know, have a conversation with them that's not over the telephone. But everyone was super great. And just want to thank the Miami Dolphins once again for the opportunity. So that's it. And everyone, you have a great rest of your Tuesday. And we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.